Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Stu and Blake.
Hello and welcome to the MMA Fan Show. I'm Stu Whiffin, joining me always, Blake Harrison. How are you, mate?
Very good. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. Look, we've got a guest today. And so I don't want to waste any more time, but just quickly, before we do, we need to shout out our sponsors, which is Ferocious Fightwear. If you're watching this, you can see the great big logo up there. So that's what you're looking out for. You can see the garms on the presenting table in front of you. If you want your rash guards, your shorts, your gum shields, your wraps, check them out. They're a local firm to us as well. They reached out. They said they'd like to support the show. And we're absolutely thrilled to have them on board. So head over to ferociousfightwear.com. Who we got today, mate?
Jack the Stone Mason. Here he is. That's not
how you doing, guys?
Jack, thanks so much for coming in, mate. Really appreciate it. Obviously, you were in Vegas less than 48 hours ago, I think.
Yeah.
So how are you feeling? Are you jet lagged? Are you all right?
I'm all good.
Yeah. You're all good?
Yeah.
It's all good.
Nice and fresh.
Obviously, you were over there cornering Corey McKenna. Sadly, the fight didn't go away.
Nope.
But what I wanted to ask you about that fight in particular is, as a coach, Corey's come out on socials kind of, it seems like she's sort of kicking herself for a performance, like maybe she felt like she made a mistake or something like that. As a coach, in the minutes and the hours when a fighter's feeling like that after the fight, what's your job? How do you go about trying to make things right for the fighter and just putting them in a better place?
Yeah, so I've been coaching Corey since she's 13 years old, right? She's 24 now, so I've known her a long time, and sort of I've seen her go through lots of ups and downs in her life anyway, and she's just had a really tough year. So she had a, since her previous fight, which was a great performance against Cheyenne, you know, she had a few injuries after that fight, so she had to address those. Then she got married, bought a place, she moved into that, and she had a lot going on in her life the last past year. She hasn't been able to fight because of the injuries. So this was a big one. You know, she did need the money, you know, and getting half a paycheck is quite difficult in terms of the her actual life at the moment. So that was quite hard to, you know, it's a bit bitter pill to swallow, but she did make a mistake, and at that level, she's fighting a girl that's won. She's a black belt. She's won the world championships at no gi and in gi. So very, very good on the ground. Engaged with her in the grappling, you know, a minute into the fight, and when they're both dry, so definitely going off game plan, and you know, she sort of had a mind blip, I think, in that moment. Her opponent really, you know, set up, I think it was their game plan, you know, throw a few sloppy leg kicks so that Corey grabbed it. And then as soon as she grabbed it, she jumped guard. And Corey went to the ground with her willingly, which was, I think, her first mistake. And then there's a few little errors on the ground as well. And I think it just all happened really quickly.
Yes.
And there was a little bit of confusion with the arm bar, and the ref stopped it midway, which I think maybe added to it. She possibly could have got out, she possibly couldn't. And it was a a really small error in judgment, and it's cost her big. So she's really, really annoyed with herself about that. And it's difficult. I've been there before myself, and really difficult to console her. And but I know she's really eager to get back in there as soon as possible and right that wrong.
Well, that's good, and hopefully that will. I mean, we were gutted for Corey. We had Corey on the show a while ago. And that was around the time that she was having. She'd just come off the back of, like, she was having, like headaches and all that kind of stuff. And she was having problems there that now she's obviously overcome. Yeah. So, obviously, it's not been an easy road for her.
Yeah.
But she's incredibly talented. Also, seems like the loveliest girl. Like, when we had her on the show, we just finished. We were like, she was so nice, so lovely. So, fingers crossed that she gets back in there.
This is it. She's 24 years old, right? Yeah. So, the world's still at her feet. Whatever she decides to do in her life, she's super smart as well. Yeah. Lovely girl, and she's a really hard worker. So, I've got no doubt she's going to achieve what she wants to achieve. It's just these little blips, they happen, and you have to overcome them.
How does the dynamic work and the relationship now from... You said, obviously, you've worked with Corey from a young age.
Yeah.
And now we see her in the States at Alpha Male as well. So how does that work with Uriah and yourself? Like, what's the sort of... How does that work when she fights?
Yeah, so I've got a similar thing with Arnold Allen as well, you know. So we... Same with Arnold, coaching him from a really young age, and the way that things have sort of developed with both Corey and Arnold is that, you know, they got to a stage in their career where, you know, maybe the level of coaching is good enough at our place, but the sparring partners and training partners aren't there. You know, we're based in Essex. Quite an easy lifestyle in Essex. You know, there's lots of things to do, going out, you know, economically it's not that bad, you know, bad of a place to live. And even if you're poor, you're still not that poor considering other places in the UK and in the world. And it just doesn't breed, you know, these kids don't, you know, live and breathe MMA because they've got so many other outside stuff that they can do, and you know, they're not sort of fighting for their livelihood, so it doesn't really breed fighters as much, you know. So when you find those rare talents, there isn't the consistent level of training partners and people that really want it and are going to be there day in, day out to enable them to grow as much, so they need to go elsewhere. And that's what we found. You know, we found a really good fit for Corey at Team Alpha Male. She tried a few other places. She tried ATT and some other places. Really had a good fit. Alpha Male, Arnold had a really great fit at TriStar, and that's how we've sort of developed them. So I've stayed in contact with Faraz for Arnold and Araya and Danny Castillo at Team Alpha Male, and you know, we stay in contact with the training schedule, what they're doing, what they're planning, and how everything's going. And I'm kind of there now when they're out there training with those guys, just as a sounding board for how things are going, help them deal with any problems that they've got, and just give them some guidance, really. And out there, they get the level of training and partners that they need to get.
Speaking about Arnold, obviously his last fight with Movsar Evloev, we both felt like he won that fight.
Yeah.
Even regardless of illegal knees, no illegal knees. I thought it was... Was it quite close in maybe round two?
Round one was close. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I felt like Arnold edged it. Two was Movsar's, and then three was definitely Arnold's. I felt like the judges didn't do him any favours there. I felt like he should have won that fight. What do you think is next for Arnold? Because there's loads of big fights. He could fight, you know, Brian Ortega. There's plenty of big fights in that division. But what do you think could be next for Arnold? Has he got any ideas? Because he's technically on a two-fight losing streak, even though one of them is Max Holloway. Yeah. And you're like, well, you can't...
Yeah, no incredible shame performance there. As well.
And it was still a great performance.
Yeah.
And the other one is a fight that I actually think he won and a lot of people thought he won.
That's it. You know, so the Max Holloway fight, you know, Arnold, that was Arnold's first five-round main event against probably the five-round king. Yeah. Right, so, you know, we knew Arnold was fit enough for this, but I don't know if he knew... in his own mind whether he was, you know, because he'd never done it until he's proven to himself that he could do it. Mm. I think he, there maybe was some doubts there. So maybe he held back a little bit in the early rounds when he really maybe could have pushed the pace a bit more. And that resulted in a decision loss, I think. But that gave him some really good confidence going, you know, past that fight. You know, he's just been there with one of the GOATs. You know, was competitive, took a couple of rounds off him anyway. Did lose the fight. There's you know, no question about that. But
I think his stock went up after that
fight. So do I. Yeah. And then the fight after that, you know, we got given no favours. You know, we, you know, Evloev is the guy that everyone in the division has been avoiding. Like, I mean, everyone. Topuria was matched with him twice, pulled out twice. You know, Josh Emmett, you know, all these other people, they did not want to fight this guy, right? Arnold took that fight, arguably beat him. I think he beat him. I think the Canadian judges did him no favours. There was an issue, obviously, with in the third round where Arnold actually knocked the guy out, finished him, but didn't, you know, they allowed the fight to continue because there was a bit of a mix-up with the rules. And, you know, as you say, I think he had a really good performance against one of the toughest guys in the division. And, yeah, he's on a two-fight skid, but the world is still his oyster, and he can beat any of the guys in that division. I think, you know, the Volk loss has opened up that division a lot more.
Yep.
I would love to see, you know, I'd love to see him fight Yair Rodriguez next. That's a big fight.
Yeah.
And you know, Rodriguez is on a skid now. I think a two-fight skid.
Yeah.
And you know that fight really makes sense to me.
Yeah.
So I'd love to see that. I know Arnold wants it as well, so we'll try and make it happen.
No, you made me feel foolish there, because I was thinking Ortega lost to Rodriguez, but it was the other way around.
Yeah, of course it was.
I mean, you talk about the Essex scene and you know, when you find them little rough diamonds that are few and far between. Like, I mean, we've just pulled up a picture here of you and a very young looking Arnold Allen there. Like, at what point did you realise that there was proper potential in Arnold Allen?
Really from day one. You know, he was frightening. We had him, I think he had, you know, you would never do this nowadays because the sport's really moved on, but he had an amateur fight at 14 years old. Against a good guy and absolutely demolished him. But by the time he was 15, he'd got so good, you couldn't match him with other people his age. So we had to match him against adults in the amateur fight. So one of my... I used to train with Alexander Gustafsson. He came across the UK to do some training, and he came to one of Arnold's fights. And Arnold was fighting, you know... Again, we'll never do this again, right? But Arnold was fighting a 30-year-old man, okay?
Wow.
And how old was Arnold at this point?
15. At the Circus Tavern, right?
Oh,
so
nice.
Yeah. So and Alex was in the corner, and we had all the team there. And Arnold took you know, the first few seconds of the fight, the other guy came out really strong, and I was like, oh no, what have I done here? And then like that, Arnold flips it around as blitzing this guy and, you know, took him down, submitting him straight away, and I was like, this guy's special, really, really special. And then on was just performance after performance after performance. And he really is someone special. And when he's, you know, really angry, and he can be really vicious. And I'm gonna love to see him pull the trigger, I think, a little bit more in these next coming fights. He really got something to prove now. So I think he's... Yeah, I think it's going to be some special performance coming up.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah, we've been fans of Arnold's for a really, really long time. But one of the main reasons that you're here today is to talk about the Cage Warriors Academy Southeast. So can you tell us what that is and how it came about?
So this... So the show originally was called BCMMA, and it was running for about three shows before I got involved. And there was a guy, Chris Cook, founded it. He's no longer involved, but the where I was, you know, building the team at BKK Fighters, we were fighting on shows all around sort of Essex and maybe a bit further afield, and the shows, they were just not looking after the fighters, you know, the bad matchups, just lots of issues with the way things were run, just no safety procedures, you know, no one ever got checked for, like, there was no pre-fight medicals or post-fight medicals, nothing like that, issues with gloves, you know, and, you know, inconsistent, you know, loads of inconsistencies everywhere. No safety stuff. And I was just, you know, disheartened with the way things were running. So I just thought, you know, if no one's doing it properly, I'll just do it myself. So that's what I did. So I got involved with BCMMA. I kind of put all of the things in place, like good matchups, great safety procedures, all those types of things, and all of that stuff costs, you know, it costs money, right? So the one of the issues with doing it is that the margins in these shows are, you know, minuscule, and it's very, very difficult to break even. But I just felt like it was the right thing to do. You know, I wanted a show to be proud of. I wanted my guys to be fighting on shows where they are matched properly, looked after properly, you know, because you're going out there and you're having these fights in. Even in the amateur fights, it's kind of like a life or death fight. You know, you really got to look after these guys, especially if they're younger, and they're just, you know, just starting out. You don't want these guys to get hurt. So that's why I did it. You know, and we've just gone from strength to strength. So we ended up with BCMMA. We started using all the officials and the medical teams that are used in the UFC. So all the guys in the amateurs, you know, they'll go to the UFC and they'll be speaking to the same medical staff, same referees, same judges. So we've got that good standard there already. And they're never going to... It's not going to feel like a big jump when they go to the big shows, because they've got all the same people around them. You know, they do the same thing. They have the pre-fight medicals. They have all their hands wrapped, you know, properly by a professional. And yeah, it's just the same thing. They just progress through their career, maybe fighting tougher and tougher opponents, and it should feel really, really, really similar. So,
well, it sounds like a great thing for the fighters, isn't it? As you say, having the same people around.
Yeah.
Is it that you've got amateurs and pros on the same?
Yeah. So that's it. So the way we've sort of positioned ourselves now is we are grassroots MMA. So we will develop you through your amateur career to the point in which you go pro, then you'll have 1 to 3, maybe 1 to 5 fights as a pro on our event, and then you move on to Cage Warriors. That's the that's the path, and then from there you move to the UFC. So we've seen that. I've got many examples, right? But, you know, people that fought our show, Ian Garry. Who are there's so many.
We're going to forgive you. You've got back from Vegas 48 hours ago. You're fine.
Ian Garry, Corey McKenna, many. many guys have gone from our show to the UFC via this sort of progression yes. path.
Tell us a little bit about the importance yeah. of Cage Warriors for UK MMA, because yeah. there was a fantastic card at the weekend.
Yeah.
And it does feel that, you know, from the shows that you're doing through to Cage Warriors, that's the trajectory to find yourself in the UFC.
Yeah.
There's multiple organisations, but it does feel that if you saw in Cage Warriors, you're going to find yourself in the UFC.
That's it. The thing is, so the way that we run and match our show as well is that, and this is maybe because of, you know, my progression in my career, like 50 fights or whatever, and the way I've sort of seen it work is that you need to test yourself, you know, right at the right time through your career. You don't want to be over-tested early on, but you want to progress. You want to have, you know, fit, even matchups, maybe slightly in your favour, but you want to test yourself every single fight and slowly progress to, so that you get tested, and so that when you move up to the next level, you know in yourself that you can perform at that level and you can yeah. beat these guys. A lot of shows, you know, not Cage Warriors will, you know, allow these guys to, just because they sell tickets or they, you know, they have a big following, to fight, have easy fights and progress. And when they get to the level, you know, they might get to the UFC, they might get on Dana White Contender Series, and then they fall flat on their ass. And that's because they haven't been tested throughout the career. So rightly or wrongly, with the shows that we run, we make sure these guys are tested at the right times throughout yeah. the career. So we manage that on the academy show through their amateur career, and then when they go pro as well. Cage Warriors do the same. So you're never going to get an easy matchup on Cage Warriors. Yeah. But what that does is it sort of cuts the chaff, and the guys that are able to win these fights and progress through the ranks, are they going to be ready when they get to the UFC level? And, you know, that, I think that's, I personally believe that's the right way to do it, because you don't want to get to that level and just get found out. Yeah. And then it's, you know, a very short-lived career.
It's Ian Dean, isn't it, that matches?
Yeah, he is,
I think
yeah.
he's fantastic.
Yeah. He's been, like, Ian's been, I started fighting in 2005, and Ian Dean was involved in the sport well before that, you know. So he is like he knows things inside out, and he's also so knowledgeable about the, you know, the scenes all around Europe, in Russia. He knows the talent coming through. He can spot the talent as well, you know. And he's, you know, his matchmaking is second to none. Yeah. He's always put some good fights.
Absolutely.
And what fans, if yeah. they want to get tickets, stuff like that, there's an event coming up, we got it yeah. right here, April 6th in Grays at Civic Hall.
My hometown. You're coming yeah. to my hometown. Yeah, yeah.
What can fans expect? They go to one of these Cage Warriors Academy events. What can they expect?
So you can, like, honestly, there's no hyperbole here. You know, we are the best. I'll put my hand on my heart, I think we're the best amateur and grassroots show in the world. You will see the cream of amateur talent from all around Europe. We've got guys flying in from Italy, from Finland, from Czech, from Norway. You know, we've got so many fighters that, you know, from France that want to fight on the show. That my inbox is full every single day. These guys from all around Europe, they know this is the place to be. And what we do is we match them up against the best guys on the UK scene, against the best guys in Europe, and you're going to see some phenomenal fights.
And is it a kind of UK versus Europe feel to it, or is it
yeah.
kind of... Yeah,
yeah,
is
yeah,
that
yeah.
feel?
So we actually have... there's actually a portion of the card where we have a relationship with a TV channel out in Norway, where we have Norwegians versus the world, basically. So Norwegians versus... Nice. Some of the top UK guys, people from France, Italy. So that's really, you know, we're really big out there. MMA is banned in Norway, so that's kind of why we do it for them. But we get a really big really big support from the Norwegian fans and obviously all the fighters and everyone that fly over. But the rest of the card is, you know, the top UK talent versus the top European talent. So it's really good fights coming up. I can't wait. It's the first time we've actually been to Grays. So all of our previous fights, previous events have been in Colchester. Great venue there, but this is the first time we're venturing out. And it's going to be, you know, I think the audience is going to be great. It's going to be attracting people from, you know, from around this area.
Yeah.
From Kent, from just over the bridge. It's going to be a really, really, really good night. So
it's a great venue. It's a great venue.
And do you have to coach?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Any of your own fighters in there, or do you get to be the Dana White? Do you get to come out and just like wear a suit and be quite chilled?
I've never done that. So I think that's why. I think that's why we get so much support from all of the gyms that are involved in it, because I've had 50 professional fights. People know that I've been there, done that, and we treat, as I've explained to a bit earlier, they get the full UFC treatment. So the guys turn up, they get obviously the rules talk and stuff from the guys that referee in the UFC. They then get their hands wrapped by the same guys who are going to wrap their hands in the UFC. Backstage we have all the screens so they can watch the action of the fights. Our staff, our runners, they treat these guys like the professionals they are, and they then go and do their fight. They have the post-fight medicals checked by the doctors, and then get their interviews with some of the great people that we've got doing helping support the media and stuff. And then they get to watch some of the great action after their fights as well. So it's a really good experience for the fighters involved. And I think that's why they love it and show so much support.
That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, it's so great that these fighters, as you say, from grassroots level, get that experience. It seems like it's only going to do wonders British and European MMA. Like the next few years, you see the crop of guys that we could see on that Saturday on April 6th. Come through in a few years' time, and they could be in the UFC doing really, really because of the experience they've had because of you.
Yeah, that's it. And all of the team that are involved in the show, it's really their passion. You know, they love to work on the show. They love to give these guys that experience. And we're really proud to be able to do that. So
that's fantastic. I can see that a few people have got belts as well. How does that work? So have you got your own Cage Warriors Academy Southeast champions in different weight classes?
Yeah, we do.
So explain to me how that works.
So the guy up on the on the right there. So Cameron Stewart. So some of these guys actually are now fighting on the show. But so Cameron Stewart, yeah. So he's from Southend. He's one of our local guys, and he has been. He's now the defending lightweight champ.
Wow.
And he is defending against a guy from Belgium, Cadre Dean, who is actually extremely tall for lightweight, and he's about 6'4". Wow. And it's going to be an incredible fight, I think. So Cameron's, I think it's probably going to be his last defence, and then he's going to go pro. But he's been looking, you know, he's developed so much over the last sort of 5 years. He's been fighting on the Academy show, and he's really, really improving. So I think he's going to put in a great performance, and I expect this to be his last defence, and then he's going to go pro.
So these are amateur titles, and then once you've maybe defended that once or twice, you go, I'm going to go pro now. And then a few fights into your pro career, if you're doing well,
you get picked up by Cage Warriors. Yeah, so there's been, you know, loads of examples. We've got a guy called Tommy Brunning. He was our bantamweight champ. So he defended a number of times, fought some of the best guys in Europe. He's now been picked up by Cage Warriors, and he's going... he's making his pro debut on the 30th of March on Cage Warriors at the O2.
Yes.
So that's you know, we've got so many examples of this, but Tommy Brunning is definitely one to look out for.
Yeah.
One guy that's he's not on the screen here, but he trains with me as well. But a guy called Ollie Sawa. So he is he's a pro. He's defending his bantamweight professional title on our show. And he is four fights into his pro career, four knockouts. This guy's got, he's a bantamweight, but he's got the touch of death. If he, honestly, he touches you, good night. And he's fought a couple of times on our show. He's also fought a couple of times in Italy. And every fight has ended up in his opponent going to sleep. And could be the same this time. So we're gonna see if he can make it to five fights, five knockouts. Yeah.
Well, we'll put the ticket link in the show notes. So anybody who wants to come along with the show, just click the link, get a ticket. We'll be there with bells on.
We'll be there.
And a few fun questions before you leave. Yeah. Talking Cage Warriors, I want to ask you to give me a little... your thoughts in a sentence when I rattle off a couple of fighters.
OK.
I'm going to start with Harry Hardwick.
He's crazy, but he's relentless, absolutely relentless. I expect him to be the champ, you know, after his next fight. Yeah. He's relentless. He's very exciting to watch. Great personality.
Yeah, I love him.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's another person that could be in the way of that title who's equally exciting. Luke Riley.
Yeah, he's a heavy hitter. He's obviously from a great gym as well. And I expect him to do... What weight is he? Bantam? Or feather?
No, he's feather, isn't he?
Feather.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's.
So he could fight Harry. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. He's a banger.
Yeah.
He's very exciting to watch.
Yeah. Absolutely. Lon Kavanagh.
Very exciting as well. Fought on our Academy show quite a number of times as well.
Yeah.
He's very exciting. Great prospect. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what happens there. And lastly, George Hardwick.
He's a champ. He's very well rounded, I expect to see him in the UFC within the next couple of years.
Yeah. Got to get them wires off his jaw first. He's had his jaw wired.
Really? Broke his jaw. Yeah. I don't know if it was sparring.
Because he was meant to have been on the London show, right?
Maybe Harry did it.
Yeah. Also, who do you think is going to be the next UK fighter to win a UFC title?
Arnold Allen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good, I like that answer. Somebody that a lot of people do mention when they're talking about the next UK champion is Mohammed Makhachev. He was arguing a lot, seemed very pissed off at the weekend at the announcement that Pantoja is going to be fighting Steve Herzog. Herzog. What do you make of that announcement?
There's a reason why they've done it. I'm not sure. Maybe they're saving Makhachev for a UK show, because I think UFC going to come back to the UK in July. I think that's the rumours.
Manchester card is entertaining. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, Makhachev's from up that way as well.
Yeah,
Or something in the Middle East, but he's got to be next.
He's on a really good run.
Yeah, he's incredible, and he definitely one of the guys that could win the title next.
I think part of it potentially goes back to, like, you talking about what's the name of that fighter you mentioned who had four knockouts? And
Oli Sawa.
You talk about that and you go, everyone goes, four knockouts in a row, that's really good, really good. Mohamed Makhachev hasn't been like knocking. He's got some really good finishes, some great groundwork, some really fantastic performances. But then Steve Urta said
that last
recently
KO
against Matt Schnell, knocked him out with that left hook. That is one of those moments where Dana and the UFC, they go marketable. So bink, that looks good on the highlight reel. Pantoja's got to be wary of the knockout power. Even though Urseg's not actually knocked anyone out in the UFC prior to that, but they just go, there we go. And I think that is. That's just the way it works. Yeah. It's a harder road, I think, for the grapplers than it is the strikers. If you're a successful striker, you've got that thing that everyone can see it and go, oh, he's just kicked or punched someone, they're out. Whereas with the grapplers, a lot of people, unless you're very much knowledgeable about jiu-jitsu, wrestling, stuff like that, you're watching it sometimes going, I don't really know what's going on.
That's what I think Evloev, the guy in the featherweight division that just fought Arnold, he's on a... Well, he's unbeaten, right? He's 18-0 on a 6-fight win streak. Just, you know, just come off an arguable win over Arnold. And he should be in, you know, the top five now.
Yeah.
But he's not getting a title shot.
It's all because decisions as well.
All of his fights have been decisions. He's not finished anyone. Yeah. And he's going to really struggle to argue his case to fight for the title. Mm. And, it's a reality. You know, if you're not, you know, finishing guys, whether it's knockout, you know, impressive submissions, it's going to be much harder for you to get that title fight. Yeah, so I think Makhachev is definitely going to be fighting for the title very soon. He's very young still. He's got the world at his feet.
Yeah.
I understand why he's annoyed, but as you say, if you're finishing these guys, you've got a much better case of arguing your way to that title shot.
Yeah.
Arnold was in a similar position. You know, he was 11-0 in the UFC, and you know, we got given it was a great fight, obviously Max Holloway, but he would have, you know, if he would have won that, he would have got the title fight. But you know, 11-0 in the UFC, you could argue, why didn't he have a title shot in the first place?
Yeah. Same with Leon prior to him. As these guys putting up big win streaks. But as you say, he had that Dan Hooker moment. We were there. Okay? Yeah. We were like, this is amazing. He's let the power go for once. Because you can tell he's got it. He moves so well on his feet, Arnold. But he's got that power as well.
Anyone that ever spars with him, spars with a lot of professional boxers. Like, he's, you know, Tobira's got incredible knockout power, but so's Arnold. You know, that would be a really, really good fight to see their level of boxing between the two. That would be a really good fight. So eventually, when that happens, it's going to be a good night.
Fantastic.
Jack, you got anything else?
No, just other than thanks, Jack.
Thank you so much.
Really, really appreciate it. Thanks for having us on.
We'll see you at the Civic Hall.
Yeah. It's going to be, honestly, it could be 3 weeks now. It's going to be a brilliant night.
Yes, Saturday, April 6th. Civic Hall in Grays, Cage Warriors Academy Southeast 34. It'll be a good night.
Absolutely. If you're in London, literally jump on the train. It drops you off right in the middle of Grays. That's what you need. Lovely. Thanks, mate.
Thank you. Appreciate it.